Welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach. This is episode 153. And it's another free play episode. But before we get more into this episode, there's a couple announcements I wanted to make. There's going to be a Legacy Music Hour live show. It's going to be our game show in San Francisco on October 24th. Thursday, October 24th. And it's going to be us doing our Name That Tune contest, as well as VGM karaoke and also a dance battle. And, also appearing that night will be the Spencer Owen Timeshare, who will be doing some video game covers or video game music covers. And also I think some original tunes as well. And this is happening at Vacation Vintage, which is 651 Larkin Street. And I'm not sure what the time is going to be exactly, but it might start at 10. It might start at 9 or 10, but something like that. But there'll be more information on the website, legacymusichour.com, and on Facebook, so you can check out the information there. So, and we'll be making announcements about it on the upcoming episodes leading up to that show. So again, Thursday, October 24th, Legacy Music Hour live show. Check it out. Let's see. I guess I want to mention, a caller who's been calling in every week, Brett, the master of mediocrity. Thanks for your messages. We wanted to let you know that we have been receiving them, and they are appreciated. And before I talk about this next thing, I want to introduce, I have guests in the studio on today's episode. I'm joined by a couple members of the video game music cover band, Kirby's Dream Band. I'm here with the drummer, Eric.
Oh, hello.
Yes. And one of the guitarists, Olson.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. We are absolutely honored indulged.
I'm glad you feel that way about being here. And you have a very tight band. And you do focus on Kirby music,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
But you do other games as well.
Yes.
And, we'll plug all your website stuff, I guess, later. But, this will be fun to have you guys here and commenting on the tracks. And, there might be a Kirby track in here somewhere.
Cool. I have chills already.
Do you guys listen to every possible Kirby track you could find?
At least
honestly, no.
That's hard. I know our keyboard player Ian probably has.
Yes, he has.
But as far as every Kirby track, I've listened to almost every single one from that's cartridge based. There's still some from that golf game and Tilt and Tumble that I'm not quite familiar with, but as far as like the mainline ones, then yes, I've listened to every single one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. For me, I've been trying to do my homework, kind of catch up. I've been listening to all the soundtracks kind of in chronological order.
Uh-huh.
I'm still pretty far behind.
Yep. Yeah. What's your favorite, what do you guys all agree is the best Kirby game for music?
Ooh. Do you think they would say Dream Land 3?
Yeah.
Probably. There's something about Dream Land 3 that is just so tight and so it's so deep and dense and just like it all comes together and it has like classic tracks and amazing new tracks.
Yeah, it's got great melodies and at the same time it has what do you call it, more experimental music. It's, uh-huh, it's just a really deep in every direction.
Yeah, what's your favorite track from it?
I always forget. It's a tie. There's I always forget the names because they're not like specifically like specially named. It's like Grassland 1, Grassland 2. It's like those, but probably the ending credits one, that really slow ska jam with the trombone. Like as a kid who grew up playing punk and ska music my entire life, like all those ska songs are just so good.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's Sand 1 or Sand 2 I really like.
Uh-huh.
Sand Canyon.
Sand Canyon.
Sand Canyon.
I think it's either Sand Canyon 1, Sand Canyon 2, Sand
Canyon
3.
Which one that's like
It's not that one, because we covered that one. It's one we don't cover. It's so dancey and just such a good groove. I wish I'd remember the name of it. We would be able to play it, but it's excellent.
Okay. And do you guys ever argue about what the best Kirby game is, or Kirby music track is?
Yeah, we have before, definitely.
Yeah. It's like, especially when it came down to picking the last couple of songs for the album.
Oh yeah.
The 15th and 16th song, which ended up being Milky Way Wishes and
Dreamland Days,
which is that dun 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 dun
dun dun. We had
this very long like list of, well, what are the last two songs you can put on the album?
Yeah,
I know. Mark's Theme was a very big top contender.
Yeah, that one, and also Kirby Block Ball.
Oh yeah.
We had a medley from that.
Yeah.
And do you guys stop at a certain time period, or you go all Kirby?
I mean,
I know you do other stuff besides mm-hmm. Kirby, but mm-hmm. you know, you go, you would even do stuff from Epic Yarn or
yes.
something.
Actually,
there's some good songs from Epic Yarn. Yeah,
definitely. We've actually, like, some Epic Yarn stuff was on there, at least some of the slower stuff. I think one of the jungle songs. I don't remember the names.
I think that the tracks I really like from mm-hmm. Epic Yarn were actually the ones that I think were composed by not the regular
yep.
Kirby guys, but by Tomoyo Tomita, who did the music to Wario Land Shake
mm-hmm.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And his stuff is just really good and jazzy and, mm-hmm. and good.
And you know? Super bass, like really good bass lines, mm-hmm. at least for like Wario Land. But there's something about the Kirby music that is very, very specific to only that series, like that. Even today, like even like the really slow kind of jazzy stuff of Epic Yarn, that somehow sticks to it. That it has ever since the very first one for the Game
Boy. Well, something that's really common in Kirby music is that there's this fast this kind of
arpeggio. Do you think?
I don't know. It's like a vibrating kind of sound mm-hmm. almost in the music that mm-hmm. seems to be something of a trademark of Jun Ishikawa. Maybe yep. you know. But I mean, the Kirby sound has a lot to do with Hirokazu Ando as well, but,
yep.
but there's that kind of, you hear that kind of technique used in, some of his non-Kirby games though,
yeah.
like Alkahest, mm-hmm. you know, which is such a good soundtrack. And
I remember, I think you played another one of Jun Ishikawa's songs, and I was like, I don't think I remember you saying his name. I was like, God, that sounds like a Kirby song, because it has that layer in the background that is not present. It's when you hear it just like trilling up and down, up and down, uh-huh. up and down. You're like, oh my God, that sounds like a Kirby song. And then I realized, oh, that's one of the composers.
Yeah. Maybe it was Hyperzone, maybe Hyperzone.
Hey, you know what? It was Hyperzone.
Oh yeah. 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 It's like, that's his trademark mm-hmm. move. I feel like, you know, and you hear it in the first Kirby game, Dreamland One. And then you keep on hearing it in all these other things and the Super Famicom stuff or Super Nintendo stuff mm-hmm. and everything. Yeah.
It's kind of bitten us in the butt a little bit, because we like,
oh, is that hard to play? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because we when we started this band, we didn't realize how Kirby music is some of the hardest music
uh-huh.
to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, we've always wondered, like, why don't more people, bands, cover these songs? They're mm-hmm. so good. And then like, once we started breaking down the music and like writing everything out of MIDI for everybody to learn, we were like, all the keyboard players were like, good Lord, why are you making us do this?
Right.
Like, they're constantly going up and down the keyboards to keep the backing tracks. Because we try to be as precise, like literally to the
good. That's mm-hmm. that's what's tight about your band is that it's kind of like the advantage in that way, because mm-hmm. they were so exact about mm-hmm. you know, just staying so, you know, close to the way the music is written, you know.
Yeah.
And this music wasn't really written for people to play. Yeah. it was written for machines to play.
And that's and like, listen to Milky Way Wishes. Our bass player has had to learn how to play hammer-ons on the actual fretboard in order to keep up with those bass lines.
What do you normally play on guitar? Do you play the lead, or
both of us switch off.
You switch off. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and then obviously using guitars and drums, it gives it a rock mm-hmm. kind of edge to it, you know,
yep.
naturally because of the instrumentation. But
it's made us better musicians. That's for dang sure.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like hearing us from our very first band practice a couple years back, and then hearing us now, it's pretty. I'm really proud of all the guys and how far we've come
so
to do this.
Basically, playing video game music has made you better musicians.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, like, just you heard it here on the Legacy Music Hour.
Yes.
Any budding musicians out there, learn your video game music it'll turn you into an accomplished musician. Oh, I mean, by far. You know, I guess it's the same way as like training yourself to play classical music, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of jazz players learn classical so they can get better at dexterity and things like that. And mm-hmm. I guess the same goes for video game music.
Oh, and like, especially like as a drummer, because like I said, I'm like a punk rock drummer. I like playing ska and punk bands, and I've had to learn how to play these really weird songs with weird rhythms, because back in, you know, with the sound channel or the noise channel, mm-hmm. only one sound can happen at once. So they came up with these really weird drum beats.
Yeah.
That weren't meant to be played by a person.
Right.
It's just mm-hmm. meant to keep a rhythm in a game.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, I'm glad you guys are here, and
yes.
we'll listen to a lot of stuff, not just Kirby stuff. In fact, not that much Kirby stuff, maybe only one. But
first,
oh,
can
yes.
I give you something?
Oh, yes.
A present?
Oh, sure, sure.
I have a gift for you.
Well, wait. T.O., actually, should we save it for the end, or should we do it up front?
I can't wait.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
I got you a CD.
Okay, wow.
Of the Pink album.
Oh, neat. Okay, cool.
It
yeah,
is very this pink.
Is, this is, yeah, this is the Pink album from... which is your album, which
yes.
is Kirby's Dream Band's album. And thank
for you.
You
and Rob, or
okay.
for the F-Switch, is pins. And there's different, it's all of us, the band members, as Kirby's.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow, I want to, okay, let me see if I can pick out the two of you right now real quick. Hold on. Wait, how would I do this, actually? Let's see. I'm just trying to figure out the graph. They're sort of these animated, or not animated, mm-hmm. but these illustrated renditions, I guess, of the band members, and trying to figure out which ones are Olsen and Eric. Okay, let me at least narrow it down to how many there are.
There's six.
There's six.
And each one is a different, it was our song choice for the album, the non-Kirby songs. So there's like Street Fighter, Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, Sonic 2.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. It's even... Wait, is this Dr. Robotnik?
Yes,
yeah,
that is
okay.
Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, wow, you should have let me guess that. That I could have guessed better, actually. Let's see. Jeez, this is hard, actually. I don't know if I... Hold on, I can't even see what this is, actually. What is that?
Which one is that?
It's Haunter.
Oh, that's Haunter. That's our keyboard player, Michael. He chose Pokemon, and that's Haunter.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. let's see. This is... I don't know what that is, either.
Oh, that's me.
Is that you?
That's from Cave Story, which is a newer game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But that character's name is Balrog.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that. Balrog?
Yeah, you would like Cave Story.
Oh, really? No, I've seen clips. Oh, yeah. I've seen clips, yeah. But I wouldn't have guessed that was you either. I wouldn't have known to know that was
you. There's lip piercings.
Oh, I see, yeah. Oh, I see now mm-hmm. even more. Okay, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, maybe if I was a little bit more. So Dr. Robotnik, I mean, how would I know that? Is there someone with a mustache in the group?
Oh, well, that's Dr. Robotnik's mustache.
No, I know, does that resemble someone in the band though? Also,
no, that's that's Munz, our other guitar player, because he chose Sonic 2 for his Kirby song.
Oh, I see. Okay, so wait, hold on. What is? I mean, there's Guile here.
Yes,
but that doesn't look like you, so it's not you.
No,
you
that's our bass player Andre.
Is this the same one I was? No, this is different. Let's see. What is this?
Oh, that's.
Is that Kane?
That's Mike.
That's Michael.
The other one you saw earlier.
One
you saw earlier, that was Ian.
Oh, I think the other one you saw earlier was Kane from Final Fantasy IV.
Oh, okay, huh.
And then the last one is Olsen, which is from Chrono Trigger.
Is it? Which one is that?
Is it there?
It should be there. Is it not there?
Is it one of these?
Did I bring the wrong one?
Is it one of these?
Oh.
No.
No. Oh, I may have forgot Olsen's.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry, Olsen. his was Chrono Trigger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's here in person.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man. Now you don't have the complete set.
I know. I'll get it eventually.
Okay, eventually.
Sure.
Yeah, eventually. Get
them all.
Yeah. The mall.
Catch them all.
Exactly.
Did you say catch them all just now?
At the mall.
At the mall?
Yeah, you'll get them all at the mall.
Catch them
catch
mall.
Gotta catch them all.
One thing I wanted to mention before we get into the music was I started playing a game. Let's just to change subjects briefly. I got this game for the Nintendo Entertainment System after hearing Andrew DeWitt talk about it on episode 150, Taboo for the Nintendo.
Oh, that game from Rare.
It's a tarot reading, mm-hmm. not a game actually. It's a tarot reading thing, mm-hmm. application. I don't know.
Experience.
After hearing him talk about it, I thought, that sounds so bizarre. I wanted to see what that's all about. It was on eBay. It was really cheap. I just got it for a dollar or two. So I checked it out. The thing lasts about 10 minutes, and you know, you put your name in, you enter your gender, your birthday, and you ask a question, and then it does a tarot reading for you. And there's really trippy graphics too, actually. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you lucky numbers to I guess gamble with or whatever.
Yes.
And it's just so bizarre that they made that, because why? I mean, it's so short. It's not a game. It's so short. It just seems like it was too short to make a whole cartridge for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much did they sell it for? I wonder when it first came out. What was the retail price? You know?
Yeah. I don't know. But Rare back in the day made everything. Like, they made, 90 games, I think, 80. It's some pretty ridiculous high number, and they made every genre of anything. I mean, there was even, sewing games back in the NES days.
Really?
They made a game for everything.
Sewing, huh?
Yeah, there were some Japanese companies that would, have a kit to sew, and would come a cartridge for it. Like, everybody made games back then.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, it was a weird experience.
Mm-hmm.
This taboo for the Nintendo, but I guess it's a neat thing to have and cost me much to get.
So. What's your future?
Oh, I don't know. Every explanation of the card, they're all cryptic, the explanations. I don't understand what they mean. They're kind of ambiguous, and I guess they can be your own interpretation.
Yeah.
But it seems like things will work out, I guess, for me in the end, you know?
The box art's pretty cool, though. If I remember correctly.
The whole idea of it's so weird. This whole thing is just so bizarre. And there's nudity in the game, too,
yes.
A little bit.
Yeah. Did Tim Follin did the music for that, right?
No,
David Wise.
David Wise. But anyway, so, all right, let's get into the music here.
Excellent.
All right. Got some good tracks lined up, you know?
Hopefully some jams.
I think so.
Okay, good. I like jams.
I'm going to start off with Landstalker.
Mm-hmm.
For the Sega Genesis. This is music by Motoaki Takanouchi. And we're going to hear Let's Go on an Adventure. This is a fitting thing to start this episode off with. We're going on an adventure through this music. And this is kind of a short track, but it's still really good. Anyway, this is Let's Go on an Adventure from Landstalker for the Sega Genesis. This is music from Landstalker for the Sega Genesis, music by Motoaki Takanouchi, and this is Let's Go on an Adventure.
Man, the Genesis is so thick. That is such quintessential Genesis, how thick that guitar is, and how thick that that kick drum is, too.
Yeah, I like that, too, that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I feel it's on the precipices of, going off time. Is that 4/4? I can't tell the time signature to that. Is that 4.5?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's 4.5, but
I guess it's 4/4.
Yeah, it's just there's something about it that just seems slightly off, but I like it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love how this melody here, how it shoots up at the end, kind of in this pitch bending kind of way. This part right here. Or just how it goes there, you know.
If that was a real guitar player,
yeah.
He'd be on stage and his leg would be up on the
monitor.
And his he'd be kind of shooting it in the air, just thrusting it. It'd be excellent.
Yeah.
His legs up.
I love how that slide into it.
It's so tasty. Good. It's tasty.
It also sounds kind of 80s too.
It is insanely 80s. like I said, if this was a band, everyone would have really long hair.
Anyway, this is a good track.
Yeah, this is. I never heard of Landstalker actually.
Oh, I mean, Motoaki Takanouchi. He's one of the best composers out there.
What else did he do?
He did He did a lot of the Shining Force games.
Oh.
He did Shining Force 2, which so Shining Force 2 has the such good music.
Yeah, yeah. Shining Force 2 is excellent.
He did the, you know, the Game Gear Shining Force games, mm-hmm. Shining Force Gaiden, mm-hmm. and there's three of those. And he mm-hmm. did he didn't do Shining Force 1, but he did you know, a bunch of stuff. You know?
Yeah,
we did a whole focus on him actually.
Okay,
I think it's episode 132.
Yeah.
I think he did Jewel Master, which has some cool stuff, and he did Aguri Suzuki mm-hmm. Racing.
So he's a Sega guy, right?
He seems to do okay. more Sega stuff, but he, he didn't work for Sega,
okay.
but he seems to do more Sega stuff. But he did a couple Super Nintendo games, Gran Historia,
okay,
and this other one I forgot the name of, but anyway, yeah, he's really good. He's
yeah.
one of my favorites actually.
Pretty epic.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on to this game that I've been playing music from this series for the last few episodes, Classic Road.
Mm-hmm.
This is a horse racing game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been hearing from Classic Road 2 a lot. I want to play something from Classic Road 1. This is music by Hayato Matsuo. He did the music to the game Cybalion for the Super Nintendo, and
yeah,
he did Master of Monsters for Genesis. Mm-hmm. And he did, he's really good. He was, I think, a protege of Koichi Sugiyama.
Okay,
of Dragon Quest fame. And the arranger of this, I guess, or the sound programmer or something, is Hitoshi Sakamoto. And we're going to hear Training. So, horse racing game, Classic Road for the Super Famicom. Is music from Classic Road for the Super Famicom, Hayato Matsuo, and this is called Training.
Now, you said he was a protege of Dragon Quest guy.
I think so, yeah.
Because it sounds like it, because he's very, like, at least in Dragon Quest, everything's super orchestral
yeah.
and, like, almost, like, I don't want to say film scores, but, like, but it doesn't sound like video game music. There's so much more to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Classic Roads, both Classic
yeah.
Roads. I mean, I've said it already on the previous episodes, but it just, the music is so much bigger
mm-hmm.
than what you would think would be for a real marginalized kind of game, mm-hmm. like, you know, horse racing.
Yeah.
And yeah, just all the tracks are very, for lack of a better word, epic.
Yeah.
And for mm-hmm. lack of a better phrase than lack of a better word, but yeah, they're very grand and, you know, just orchestral, and yeah, it seems like role-playing game music almost, you know.
Like, I feel like I'm riding a horse. I feel I'm in front of a castle. I have all my guardsmen looking at me, and I'm sitting like European style with my legs out, and I'm
that's
very,
a female style.
Is it
yeah.
female? Oh, well, this is how dapper
well, all,
I am.
All Europeans are women, so you know that, right?
Yes, exactly. This is how dapper I am. It's like this is the dapper song.
Yeah, I like the. It seems like it's kind of in some sort of Lydian mode or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
the melody. It's got this Lydian quality to it. You know, that I like. I think. You know, it seems like there's mm-hmm. that. Kind of, you know, I guess like sharp 11 or something like that, you know?
I like those cellos, keeping that,
Oh.
That,
Pizzicato cello.
Yeah, that's what it's called?
Yeah, the pizzicato cello. Yeah, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice, actually. We can hear that close up if you want.
Yes. Can we please?
See if we can do that.
I wish I knew musical terms like you, Olsen. Pizzicato. I taught myself, so I have no idea what anything is.
I wish I knew Lydian better. Yeah.
Does it sound like plucking?
It's perfect. Yeah.
It's like.
No, but there's. This is one channel right now.
This is one channel.
That's crazy. There's a kind of pizzicato violin, I guess, yeah. And then there's this cello as well.
Yeah, the lower bowed cello sound.
Mm-hmm. So there's that's interesting that he's using one channel for two
samples.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of like in the same vein how a lot of NES stuff when they use a sample track for like percussions, they'll switch back and forth.
Oh yeah.
It just sounds like which stuff like this impresses me so much more. Especially for composers back in the day, because they just had to really think, like really plan out ahead. I have this vision. How am I going to create this vision with these tiny restrictions?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's what makes video game music so,
much more than it appears
ingenious,
to be. Yeah.
You know, than music that came after or the music of this time. You know, so innovative. You know, is using these limitations. Anyway, so.
Wow. Yeah. And you have that contrasting melody.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I like that, you know, back and forth melody thing. I don't know how I could ever do it, how I could ever compose something like that.
Yeah.
There's good stereo, too.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's so good. Oh, man.
So next up, we're going to hear from Wagyan Paradise.
Ooh, I'm so happy you showed us this.
Oh yeah, this is such a good soundtrack.
It's every so song good. Is so. I listened to this entire soundtrack after you played that first song.
Yeah,
and I was just blown away that this like unheard of game that I don't think anyone's ever heard except for like people listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there's some guys on the internet who know about it, you know. But it's just this is such an obscurity to me, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's so. Are you familiar with this soundtrack yet?
Eric, I think, introduced it to me.
Oh, yes. I sent you a song on Facebook.
I listened to it.
It's awesome. Really jazzy and good. It's just really good. So this is a Super Famicom game. The composer on this is Eriko Imura. And we're going to hear Sunken Ship. I've been playing this every episode because there's so many good tracks. Mm-hmm. And it's so big, too. Mm-hmm. It's a huge soundtrack. So yeah, Sunken Ship. This one's slower. Let's just hear it. Here it goes. Wagyan Paradise. This is Wagyan Paradise, Sunken Ship, from composer Eriko Imura.
what is there to say? I know you use this term a lot, new age. It's super new agey.
The beginning especially.
Yeah.
It's very, it's smooth, but what's kind of neat about it is it's kind of has an older sound to it with the jazziness of it, but then it also has these electronic-y sounding, like these drum pads, are very kind of more, modern sounding. And
At least what I noticed in the drums, there's like no snare, no cymbals. It's all just like kicking toms.
Yeah, like kind of, but synth toms too,
It's super like, if this was a real band, you'd be playing an electric drum kit.
Yeah,
by far,
totally. I guess what makes it sound older is the kind of, it's jazzy, but also it's an organ, sound. So it's this organ, kind of jazzy organ, and then mixed with these, kind of synthy drum pad things,
Yeah, like that would be a Farfisa organ, totally. At least I would think so.
I love the beginning too, with the strings too.
Yeah.
I guess the cello or whatever.
An oboe? Maybe a bass. It'd be a bass. A standard bass with
See, you hear that with you're hearing these like kind of more classical instruments, but then with there's like synth noises too. But there's this sort of bass synth.
Yeah.
Well, there was one earlier, but that right there, that
good stereo effect.
Yeah.
Because it comes in all the way from this side and then just sweeps over.
It has that echo effect on the the xylophone or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. It's a nice track. It's nice.
This is a really good song.
Yeah.
It kind of almost reminds me of a David Wise type of thing almost,
Yes, kind of like what he did for like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's more jazzy, way more jazzy,
This would be a fun song to cover.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
This is totally a smooth jam. It's basically a smooth jam. It's a slow jam.
Yes.
Groove.
Kind of.
Boom. Boom. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a Yellow Magic Orchestra. That those weird synth toms. If you like YMO.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Very similar.
It's got a good melody too. This is the world breakdown right here.
Yeah. And even the drums kind of add to the melody too, which is something I really enjoy. It's like a heartbeat. It's like a heartbeat between like two lovers.
Did you guys hear that synth synth triangle just now before it came back in?
Oh, it's so good.
Nah, I don't know if it was a synth triangle, but it sounded like a triangle.
I like to pretend it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Like imagine some sort of triangle pad, it's like a rubber triangle.
Yes. And there's a big old cord coming from it. It's all coiled up.
Yeah.
It's
like $700.
All right, next up, another Super Nintendo game. This is Lufia 2.
Oh.
Rise of the Sinistrals.
So good. This entire soundtrack shreds.
The composer on this is Yasunori Shiono. And we're going to hear Watchtowers of the Seal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Not so much the names, but I've listened to everything.
Yeah, yeah. No, you'll know this one when you hear it. It sounds to me like one of the... I don't know. I don't know. I've never played this game, but it sounds like it's later in the game, and it seems like it's when something is happening important, or they're rushing to do something or something. It sounds like. I don't know. All right. Music from Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals. This is Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals, from composer Yasunori Shiono. Watchtowers of the Seal is the name of this track.
That snare is so beefy, and like, it's so thick. It's like, I imagine it's just like this big, deep, like 15-inch snare. It's so big. And what's interesting is the timpanis, they're, there's there's notes behind it. It's not just the same two timpanis. It acts like a bass.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
So there's no bass. It's all timpanis. That's what makes it spread.
Right, right. This kind of just reminds me of some Nobuo Uematsu kind of situation.
It does. I was thinking the same thing. Which is an absolute compliment to any composer.
Yeah, totally.
Like listening to music like this, like really orchestral, like Famicom and SNES stuff, just makes me kind of bummed out that like a lot of new games, like everything is so like movie scoreish and so anti melodic. It doesn't.
Yeah, it makes it so boring now. You know,
it does. It's like I'm a really big gamer. Like I work in the gaming industry.
And what do you do?
I'm an environment artist for game studios. I worked at Insomniac on Resistance 3. I worked on Transformers at High Moon. And I now work at Psyonix on Legacy of Kain, Nazgoth.
Oh, I had no idea.
And and all the music for all those games, it's like I cannot honestly tell you a single melody from any of those games I worked on.
They're not memorable, no.
Because it just fills in the void of what's happening in the story. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it's like, it pumps me up.
And it's memorable, too.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is totally like something you could sing along with.
Like right here.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Yeah. And imagine like the guy's just hammering that timpani super hard.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he's really ticked.
I would love to play a timpani on this track if I was doing it live. You know, it'd be fun. Boom, boom. I played timpani and wind ensemble.
Oh, awesome.
When I was in college, I played percussion instruments.
Oh, rad.
Cool. This would be fun. This would be fun to play, actually.
Oh, yeah. Be great to see live.
Yeah, yeah. This is a pump song. Yeah.
This entire soundtrack is really good, and I wish it got more love in the video game like remix community.
Mm.
This, especially the boss music and the fight music, is excellent.
Mm. The final boss music. Mm-hmm. At one of our live events, someone sang to it.
Really?
They did. It was really good. I wish we had it on. I wish we video recorded it, but it was so good. I mean, I'm hoping this is going to Brett right now. If you're listening, Brett, if you come to this event on the 24th, I would love for you to do this track again, because the environment wasn't really, it was too loud. The environment was too loud when we did the last event in San Francisco. It was kind of like a dance club atmosphere, and but this is going to be more of a show atmosphere, and this will be good to showcase as VGM Karaoke on the last battle music for this game. So yeah, I hope you turn up and do it again. I like kind of militaristic.
So do I.
Drum beats and stuff.
It reminds me of a mixture of like a Death Mountain from Link to the Past and like a Final Fantasy VI song.
All right, moving on. We're gonna hear from a game called Monster Race for the Game Boy. This is a Japanese only release. Do you know anything about Monster Race?
I've never heard of it, so I'm excited.
Well, it's very similar to Pokemon in that you find monsters, mm-hmm. you little monsters, and you race them against people. Then that's how you battle them. Then I guess you get their monster, I guess, or something. It's similar. I don't know if it was ripping off Pokemon or what, but the battles all take place through a race. So that's how the battles are. I mean, that's pretty much the only difference between Pokemon and this game is that you race the monsters instead. The music is by Kinosuke Suimura, and we're going to hear Organized Race, which, I mean, I'm just calling it that because I guess you can find monsters in the wild and race them or whatever, but these races you have to go to a building and you talk to a guy and there's people watching and it's, mm-hmm. or whatever and watching this, and so it's like an organized race situation, I guess. I don't know. So this is music from Monster Race for the Game Boy Japan. We'll be right back. from composer Kenosuke Suemura, and this is Organized Race from Monster Race for the Game Boy, Japan.
Oh man, listen to that bass.
Yeah.
It's so like, it's, I love Game Boy bass.
Well, the Game Boy bass, to me, I think what it is they use the sawtooth wave for the bass instead of a triangle.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, definitely it's not a triangle, but I think it's sawtooth.
Yeah, it's definitely sawtooth.
Because it just got that kind of fat sound to it, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that fat kind of
fuzzy,
Game Boy bass. Yeah.
Fuzzy sound. Yeah,
it's just like that bomb, bomb, bomb. It's just so good.
It's like that, like a fuzz distortion pedal or something.
Yeah.
But,
It's I love the disco. It's not this part, but then the second part, it's the bass just gets all disco, you know. It's just
which is a lot of video game songs use is that
the octaves. Yeah, they do the octaves. Yeah,
is like I love it. Like Nobuo Uematsu does it a lot.
Yeah, well, he does it a lot. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
and Totaka does that a bunch too, especially for the Frog the Bell Tolls.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Which that ending song's so good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's good. That's really good, and that. I mean, well, that guy just, well, that game and that game X are just so crazy.
Oh,
they're just,
X,
like, I just,
soundtrack.
It's like, the music is just, it's just, where'd that guy come from, you know? That guy's a protege of Hirokazu Tanaka, by the way. Yeah,
yeah, and Totaka still does music.
Oh, yeah.
He actually composed Luigi's Mansion.
Oh.
Yes. So that's why that music's so good in that game.
Interesting.
Oh, I forgot about that. I gotta listen to the Luigi's Mansion music. I love the melody here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now this is weird right here. It sounds almost like just like the bass just does noise or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's doing,
it
sounds super cool.
It distorts almost or something like that. Yeah.
It's just going so fast that like the sawtooth can't handle it.
Yeah.
I like that it's kind of got this reverb sound to it too, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the delay sound.
The what?
The delay effect that they use so often in like the old video game music.
Uh-huh.
Two channels playing the same thing, but one is slower than the other.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's how they do that.
Excellent.
Effect. It sounds like reverb.
I guess
but
so, yeah.
It's amazing how well it works.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that at the end there, that the bass just. It's neat that it just does this craziness at the end, you know? That's so cool, you know? That's so cool. I think that's so cool how the bass does that.
That's
just like, just goes all over the place at the end there.
That's a cool track. Mm.
Yeah. It's also very... It's pumped. Also pumped, you know?
Yeah.
Monster Race. I feel like this feels like driving music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. This is a good track. There's some good tracks on this. Next episode I'll play another Monster.
Please do.
It's really good. It's really good. All right. So, so what do you think about a Kirby game?
Yes, please.
All right. You actually mentioned this when we were talking about Kirby stuff, and you mentioned it as one of the soundtracks you weren't as familiar with.
Yeah.
Kirby's Dream Course.
Yeah.
So, this is... I think the tracks to this game are Hirokazu Ando, or at least the ones that aren't being reused from other games or from other Kirby games. So this is a golf game, a Kirby golf game, and I wasn't sure which one I was going to play because there's a few of them I really wanted to play, either the tricky stuff, Learn the Rules, or Iceberg Ocean. I think I'm going to go with the tricky stuff.
Okay,
I'd imagine this is when, you know, you've got a tough shot or. Maybe it's the when you're really close to the tee or something. I don't know. But we're going to hear the tricky stuff from Kirby's Dream Course for the Super Nintendo. Thank you. This is from Kirby's Dream Course, The Tricky Stuff, Hirokazu Ando. The part I really like is that part kind of near the end where it's like, dun, 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 dun. You know, it's got this sort of, I think it's like a kind of a piano-y sound to it, you know, that with the
It amazes me that there's still Kirby music I haven't heard. Because, like, I know, I've listened to a lot. Like, we've all listened to a lot.
And yeah.
This is, like, one of the soundtracks. I keep forgetting, like, even, like, this game even exists. Yeah, like, this and, like, Avalanche, I always forget, is a game. But, like, one thing that I feel that makes Kirby music isn't what's in the front, but it's always in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the first half, like, what I know that's a Kirby song right here is that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like, that is what makes Kirby music, is always the underlying layer of the actual melody of the song. That's what Kirby is to me.
Yeah.
And there's a part coming up that reminds me of our cover of Islands. Islands. You thought the same too. Exactly. Yeah.
It's the Hirokazu Ando style.
Well, this is the part that I like a lot.
Dun dun. Dun dun. Dun dun. Yeah.
And this thing right here.
That part's totally taken.
Awesome. This part's good.
And it kind of drags too. So good.
I love how at the end how it's like it kind of resolves too. It's like da 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 da. It's kind of it's neat how it changes. You know, the notes are different on that little kind of whatever it is, arpeggio or whatever. You know, it's like a fast arpeggio.
Kirby music is so it's just overwhelming how many Kirby games there are and how many great tracks are in all of these games, and like I always feel like they're just so overlooked. Yeah. And like one thing I really love about being in this band is how we I'm hearing all these songs I never would have heard of in my life, and we're covering songs that I never covered before.
How long has the band been together?
3 years?
Since spring 2011.
Maybe, okay.
And how have you pretty much had the same members? Or?
Yes. For the most part, yeah.
Where'd you meet?
I knew the keyboard player Michael for a while, and then he always wanted to start a video game cover band. But mostly just Genesis music. He was a Genesis kid. He wanted to name it the Sprites Templar, and we all were in like Templar like costumes. It was like kind of gimmicky, and we got Ian, the keyboard player, but it kind of fell apart. But then we kind of all the same groups of guys like Mike, Ian, and Andre the bass player, and I got back together. Like, let's make a video game cover band, and we decided to do Kirby's Dream Band, and at least for the first album, focus on Kirby music. And we found, I think, Ryan off Craigslist, and Ryan brought Olsen, because Olsen, you and Ryan would used to play Mega Man 2 on guitar, right?
Yeah.
And your old job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean your old job? What was your old job?
Work study at college.
Oh, we did that for fun. I mean, or what?
Yeah, it wasn't actually a job. It was at our work when we weren't having any work to do.
You would play
in our free time at work.
You'd play Mega Man.
We'd play Mega Man.
Yeah,
Video game music brings people together.
Which tracks from Mega Man 2? All of them?
Well, basically, you know, the popular ones, or, you know, the most popular ones, what they call it, like Wily's Castle.
Dr. Wily's Castle, the first one. Bubble Man?
Woodman?
No, actually, we played Woodman, we played Flashman.
It's funny that, within people, the community of people who like video game music, there's popular tracks from games, you know? It's just funny to me, actually. It's like, no one would ever know that, the popular ones from Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
It's just, that's funny, you know? I mean, it's true, though. The Dr. Wily's Castle is the most popular one from that.
It's probably the song that gets covered the most next to, maybe Zelda or Mario that I've heard.
Well, you know, I mean, to me, one of the most popular video game tracks that's not Zelda or Mario is DuckTales Moon. You know?
Yes, that one. I feel the most popular songs I've heard covered 1,000 times is Moon, Wily 2, or Wily 1, sorry. Also, F-Zero, Big Blue, I hear covered a ton.
Oh, really? I don't hear that one as much, but yeah.
I've heard a lot of Mega Man X.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Covered, yeah.
But there's something I've always wanted to get off my chest, and this is, I'm getting off my chest now for Wily 1. Every band that covers it, they do this one thing that bugs me so much. Because, KDB were very into, at least trying to be as close to the original as possible, but this is my call for anyone who covers Mega Man Wily 1, is if you're a drummer, please don't gallop on the kick drum. It slows down the song so much, because, you know, like, in the original, the gallops are on the hi-hats, like, it follows the bass, but a lot of bands, what they do is they cover it, they do that gallop on the kick drum following the bass, and I feel like it ruins the kind of Iron Maiden-y portions of the song, and I just ask if anyone covers it, gallop on the hi-hat, please, drummers.
All right, that's a tip. It's a pro tip. From Kirby's Dream Band drummer, Eric.
You know, Eric's always telling us, you know, we got to make it dance. You got to make it dance.
You got to make it dancey.
That's the theme of Eric.
Got to make it dancey.
Yeah.
Because dancing music's the best music, at least I feel.
It's good. Video game music is one of the few types of music that would make me mm-hmm. dance, but I wouldn't do it in public, but I would do it. I like it when other people are dancing in public, too, if I'm playing the music. But yeah.
Pictionary makes me dance every single time.
Oh, yeah.
What, you mean Drawing Game, the one?
Yeah, the first one, Title Screen.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's such a hard-hitting, dancey song.
Mm.
Hard dance.
Well, you mentioned F-Zero,
mm-hmm.
but we're not going to hear from that. But we're going to hear from F1 Grand Prix 3.
Oh, good.
You know this one.
Yes. Okay.
So this is a Super Famicom game. The music is by Naoki Itamura, and we're going to hear Qualify. And as I recall, this is the one that has a ton of these sort of big kind of orchestra hit type of things. They're not actually even orchestra hits. They're just something else, actually. And it's just kind of a weird track, actually. But mm-hmm. F1 Grand Prix 3 for the Super Famicom.
Mm-hmm.
This is F1 Grand Prix Part 3, and this is called Qualify. This is music composed by Naoki Itamura. And like I said, there's these, I wouldn't call them orchestra hits exactly, but it's something, right?
Yeah, those are pretty much
orchestra hits.
Those are orchestra hits.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
They sound different, though. They're not as, I don't know.
I think what makes them sound different from, like, Konami orchestra hits, like in Turtles in Time, is that these are a lot like wider.
Yeah, it's, they're
like,
longer.
Yeah, they're out. They last longer, mm-hmm. I guess is what it
they're,
is. Yeah.
They're not as compact as like other orchestra hits you would hear, especially like out of a keyboard. Like these are really long and reverby and kind of just more overwhelming.
And they're also used to play the melody too.
Yeah,
which isn't as common, you know.
No.
Dun, dun.
But Why don't more bands use orchestra hits? I wish they did. It is the best patch in a keyboard.
Yeah.
It's just interesting that the orchestra hits are playing the melody.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Can we talk about the kick in the beginning?
Oh yeah, oh, right.
If you can just hit it again, that. Ah, oh, it's so good. I want to cover the song just to do that part.
Something about this also sounds to me, it reminds me of some kind of, I don't know, like Rush or something, you know, or I don't know, you know what I mean? Some
yes.
kind of proggy kind of 70s band in a way. Or
is
something.
The bass just doing one note?
Maybe 80s.
Yeah. The bass is just doing one note.
Well, for that
it's
whole
staying
like,
on it the whole time, yeah.
The whole like main section, but then, you know, it goes to that C section and everything changes.
Right.
You know, that,
right.
that big surprising section
yeah.
that you don't see it's coming.
Yeah.
What's really cool about the bass is he messes with the volume. It goes up and down, like the bass player
yeah.
kind of just like attacking it in the middle of the song, which you don't really hear a lot in like games outside of like classic 80s Sega, where they try to really mess with the volume, make it sound like as real as possible.
You know what it is that's different about it not seeming like an orchestra hit or
yeah.
a typical one? Is it... They even kind of play with the, I don't know, they hold it for longer,
yeah.
but it's, I don't know, it's just weird. It doesn't sound like a normal orchestra hit. There's just something,
they
hear
layered.
That, you kind of almost like, there's an echo effect to it, you know? Dun, 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 dun.
It has, you know, can you separate? There's this weird thing with the orchestra hits. It kind of like, it sounds like Stardust. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like,
we'll see what
the
we got.
After flash of a firework. It has a.
Let's see what we got here. Well, here's this.
Oh yeah,
no,
we got to listen to this. Yeah. And the bass is just sticking in one note again.
Oh, I see.
Is it the octave?
Oh, no, there's changed. It changed. Yeah. It's changing a lot now. All right, let's see what we got going on here. Oh, they're like harmonized.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
It's kind of like
this,
an odd echo effect or something.
There's more. There's a lot. I'm playing three channels here. Here's another channel.
Weird.
There's a lot.
This song's like really complicated.
All right, What was that Stardust you were talking about? Was
it was that last track you turned on.
I think, yeah. It's not playing anything right now, but...
No, it was another track. Another voice.
It's interesting that they're harmonized. That's so weird, right?
Yeah. It's like, it makes me appreciate even more the things these composers had to do in order to complete their vision.
Right.
Like, it's not like you go in Pro Tools and you have one track and you do it. Like, the ears, you had to kind of really... kind of like duct tape your way into getting what you want it to sound like. Yeah. There we go. That's the Stardust.
Oh, it's panning.
Oh, wow.
You hear that?
So
it's
cool.
Going from the left to the right.
Yeah.
Now it's going back to the right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it went from the right to the left. I mean, now it's going back again.
That's the Stardust.
Yeah. Now, to me, that's not an orchestra hit, though.
No, that's it's the layering behind that the orchestra hit.
Listen to that weird, bah, 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 bah. That's
yeah.
so weird. Oh, this is cool too.
Yeah.
There's the Stardust is going from different ear to different ear here.
Like, yeah, that this sounds like the after effect of a firework.
What's crazy is I didn't hear this at all.
You didn't,
and
really?
No, I mean while
the
track was playing,
yeah.
I couldn't hear it like this. I couldn't
yeah.
hear this back and
oh,
forth
totally.
And. Watch this weird. This is a. What a weird track.
That's so cool.
Right here is the weird part. Oh, it didn't do it this time. This is the other section.
Like, I'm kind of curious how they went about with, like, making it sound like that. Like, do you.
Well,
like, is that a sample? Or is that like you just cut it the sound you make it blank and you're like, stop, play,
right.
Like a thousand
I
times.
Don't know, right, yeah.
I wish someone that actually like works with like SPC can figure this out.
I'm curious about what is the orchestra hit and not, and what isn't the orchestra.
That's an orchestra hit.
Would you say this is an orchestra hit?
Okay. I would say it's an orchestra hit. Would you also?
What about this?
That's an orchestra hit. Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I would think so.
What about this? I guess so. I guess it's orchestra. Yeah. It just doesn't sound like a typical orchestra. There's very much a... I feel like string... Like, I just see a shoot stars, and there's strings hanging from the stars, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're just like these... Oops. What a weird track.
I feel like it's a mutated orchestra hit. Like, that's the best way to explain it.
It's a very... It's a very stringy orchestra hit. And what I mean by stringy is not violins and stuff, but I mean there's strings hanging from it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like a dangling, there's dangling little tentacles or something.
If you want to give visual terms to music, which is great, that's exactly what I see when I hear it.
Yeah.
What a crazy track.
Dun, 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 dun. It's
the background.
Background.
Yeah. The call and response.
Yeah. Anyway, weird track, cool track. F1 Grand Prix. Three.
And like stuff like that is kind of like when we cover video game music, we don't really realize it's like, wow, we have to cover the song. This is what goes on behind it.
Right. I don't even know how you'd cover those, actually. How would you cover those sounds, you know?
We don't.
I guess you just have to just
we don't
not
play.
Do it.
We just don't play the song.
How do you add stringies things to your notes?
Man, I don't know. We just don't play the song. And that's how we've learned with a lot of Kirby stuff is there's a lot to it that we don't really realize. Like if you hear our cover of Milky Way Wishes, like listen to what the keyboards are doing, and it's just absolutely mind-boggling that they've like were able to pull that off.
Oh yeah,
right,
it's ridiculous.
Well yeah, there's sometimes I get some sheet music or something for some video game music that I want to play on piano, and I try to do it and I'm just thinking this is out of my league here. I can't do this. It's not humanly possible, you know. I guess there's ways to write arrangements for it, but all right. Anyway, YY World,
cool.
This is a Famicom game, Konami. Yes,
wasn't this the game where Konami kind of mixed all their licenses together?
That's right. Yeah. So they have a bunch of different Konami characters all in one game, and there's also a couple characters. Konami Man and Konami Lady are in this game as well. Konami Man makes an appearance in Goonies 2, actually.
He was Konami's mascot. He was in a lot of the instruction manuals, if I remember correctly. Mm.
And you know, the music is it's like a mega mix of all Konami games. It's got levels from different, levels that resemble levels from other Konami games.
Like Twinbee.
There's a Gradius kind of level as well, and then there's I don't know, Castlevania situation, and you get Mikey from Goonies actually, and you can play as all these different characters, and you have to find them. I think you rescue them from different levels and stuff, and it's just a cool kind of anthology type of situation with Konami. Just it's a Konami party basically, and, you know, it's like Konami party.
That's and it has the Konami Moai heads, which is classic Konami.
Yeah. Now, okay. So the music is composed by. Shinya Sakamoto, Shigemasa Matsuo, and Atsushi Fujio. And whenever you play with these different people, it uses the music from those games. Sometimes there's original music that sounds like it's in the vein of those games, but Konami Man has a theme and Konami Lady has a theme, and we're going to hear Konami Man's theme.
Yeah.
So this is, the first character you play with in the game. So we're going to hear Konami Man from YY World for the Famicom. is Konami Man's theme from YY World, music by Shinya Sakamoto, Shigemasa Matsuo, and Atsushi Fujio. There's that one part there where the bass just slides in this really kind
so
of
heavy.
Big way. Yeah, it's a,
I think it's right here.
Well, no, it was earlier, I think. Yeah, but
it's like this is so post like 88 Konami, because like
this actually came out in 88. Actually, yeah.
Because if you listen to like Konami like at this era and past, it has this very specific sound. I think it's in the noise track. It's like the percussion, because like. This sounds exactly like Konami Hyper Soccer. It sounds exactly like TMNT. Hmm. It sounds exactly like every like Bayou Billy, like every Konami game post like 87, 88.
Mm-hmm.
It has that Konami sound.
You hear that so bass? Good. That bass is so cool. It just comes in boom.
And
so cool.
That impresses me because back when they were like writing Konami like NES music. It was so archaic and hard. Like, you've seen those Famitrackers, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
no way.
Imagine having to put in all the notes to make it sound so smooth, that slide up, that bass. A lot of respect to those composers.
I like the melody at the end, too.
Oh, so good.
Wraps up, you know.
It sounds like a happier Gradius.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This music.
It does sound kind of Gradius-y, yeah. It does sound like Gradius, actually, yeah.
Like a lot faster.
I like this melody here. Oh, and then, no, the part after this, too, actually. The part after this is what I really like, actually. This part right here is really good.
This part's so good.
Yeah.
Man, I would like to know what else, like, really makes Konami music, because there's something else to it. I don't know whether it's what to do with the other voices.
It's
but
something about the compositions. There's something about they do these tight kind of kind of like driving melodies. You know, I don't know. It's just something about it. Yeah, it definitely has the Konami sound to it. Yeah. You know,
like I don't know whether it's percussion or whether it's like the melodies.
I think this would be a neat game to have. You know, just to have all these Konami characters in one place. You know,
yeah, it's, totally.
That's really neat. And there's two of these games too. There's Wild Wild World 2 as well.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
I know people are loving it even downstairs.
Yeah.
You know,
downstairs they can hear us dancing. They're telling us to stop dancing.
I don't know what that is. Maybe that's oh that's Konami Man.
That's Konami Man.
He's here.
I really like that Konami was trying to push that really hard to be their mascot. Like it's if you think about it now, it's such a dorky thing
it's
to be
Konami
into.
Man. Yeah, Konami it's Man. Anyway,
like you had Simon Belmont. He's way cooler.
Or there's a ton, so many guys. There's so many. What's that? That was actually really neat about this game. There's so many guys who could be the. The spokespersons for Konami, the Ganbare Goemon guys or guy or whatever.
I forgot that they did all the Goemon games.
Yeah, so I mean I think that he's in the game actually.
Probably
in YY World. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think he is because I know he did. There are NES Goemon games.
Yeah, no, there are for sure. But I'm almost sure that he's in this game also. And then who the octopus.
Yes.
Guy from Parodius is kind of a mascot, sort of, and the penguin. Oh, the penguin guy is kind of a mascot too. Pentaro, I think his name.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of old like I think Hideo Kojima's first game was with penguins. That music's really good too.
Which one?
The one where the girlfriend's trying to keep the penguin from eating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's the one where you get too fat.
Yes.
And so she leaves you for another guy.
Yes.
And then you have to not eat to beat the game.
Exactly.
There's all this food. Basically, her new boyfriend is throwing food at you.
Yeah.
And you if you eat the food, basically if you hit the food, that makes you fatter and that makes you not win. You know, so you have to stay thin.
And the music's incredible.
The music's really good.
Yes.
The music's really good. Yeah.
I know.
It's called Yume Penguin something. You may penguin or something.
I know when I was in Japan, I picked up Parodius for my Famicom, and that game's a trip.
I have Parodius for Super Famicom. One of the I think Parodius Da. I think
okay
like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. It's funny. It's really funny actually.
It's
like there's one level where you go into a washroom or a bathroom basically, and it's all these guys bathing and stuff, and you see their butts and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's such bizarre. Like it's essentially Gradius, but just weird.
Yeah, you may. Penguin Monogatari is the name of that.
Okay,
that
cool. Game. Good music. Really good music.
Yeah, really good. That's really good. All right, so we're going to move on to a game that we haven't heard. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of the. Yeah, I think this one is the first game this episode, or this, that we haven't heard from on the podcast before. Operation Logic Bomb, the ultimate search and destroy. This is a Super Nintendo game. And I listened to this because it was the same composer of Kinyo Chuiho Tobadase Game Gakuen, if you recall from some past episodes. Really, really good music. Mm-hmm. It's a Super Famicom game. And the composer on it is Yasuyuki Suzuki. And so this composer did this game, which actually was released in North America, called Operation Logic Bomb, The Ultimate Search and Destroy. And it's pretty... pretty proggy, and it's also it's like jazzy, but it's pretty I don't know, there's a lot going on with this music. I'm probably gonna play tracks from this for the next couple episodes. We're gonna hear Bass 2.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, music by Yasuyuki Suzuki. From Operation Logic Bomb, The Ultimate Search and Destroy for the Super Nintendo. This is music by Yasuyuki Suzuki. This is Bass 2.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
It has tambourine. That's something you don't hear very often in video game music. And it changes. Does it change time signatures?
I felt like that. Let's see. What is this time signature? This is so hard right here.
2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. I feel like part after this goes in the 3-4.
It's kind of hard to tell. This to me is just regular 1, 2, 3, 4. I think.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh really? Oh wait. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh. 2, 2.
I can't
tell. Maybe it's 12-4.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's still impressive.
What is it? What?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard
actually.
To
tell. It's like
that's. You know that bass in the beginning reminds me a lot of a. Like classic Sega, like Galaxy Force 2.
Oh.
It sounds like a Sega arcade bass. It's so like slappy.
Yeah, I just I love this part. This sounds so prog rock to me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I love the everything going on here. You know, just the synthy trumpets or whatever they are, and
it's super dense.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
It's
to
a
it.
Lot going on. Listen to what's going on here. Now it kind of gets jazzy here a
yeah.
little bit, you know?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right?
That's just
4-4, right?
Really impressive, though.
Yeah. Just a lot of syncopation.
You know, I guess this was like the era that video game music, at least the A and 16-bit, was coming out. And that's when like prog rock was really... coming in its own. Well, I guess prog rock's been back in the 70s still, but still like...
Well, I think all these guys, all of them were influenced by 70s prog rock, it seems to me. You know?
I mean, like, they just like really like took it, encapsulated it, and brought it to something new. This is great.
And what is this time signature? I just don't even know, actually. I can't do it. It's so weird.
I wouldn't be able to play this on drums. Not even kind of.
This is a cool track. This actually might be my favorite track of the episode so far, actually.
I don't know, that horse racing track.
Oh really? A horse racing? Okay. This is just so crazy and cool. And just there's so much crazy cool stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
That organ solo? All
right. And the bass was doing something crazy just now?
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. It almost kind of reminds me of Contra 3 Alien Wars a little bit, yeah?
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's funny, it just totally goes here now, which is just totally... Oh, and then it slows down.
Comes back. I love that slowdown.
And it kind of comes in, with this like these ghostly sort of noises and... Yeah, what a proggy track.
And this is Operation Logic Bomb?
Yeah, Logic Bomb.
What kind of game is this?
I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I think I might have looked it up, but I forgot. But, yeah, Operation Logic Bomb. Super Nintendo came out, and it came out in North America also, yeah.
With that name, I really hope it's like a board game. And this is the music for the board game.
Right. Yeah, that's a cool track. We'll be hearing more from that in upcoming episodes. All right, Last Bible 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some good jams on this game. We've heard from it before. Hiroyuki Yanada is the composer. This is a Super Famicom game. And just what an underrated soundtrack this is, actually. There's so many good tracks on this. We're going to hear Field Theme 2 from Last Bible 3. Music from Last Bible 3, music composed by Hiroyuki Yanada, and this is Field Theme 2.
This might be my favorite track so far.
Oh really?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And I could what really impresses me the most is if you listen to the snare, you could tell that what the composer is trying to create is like a, I don't know how to explain it, kind of like two-handed snare where it's very lightly touching it, which is really hard to think about. Like it's hard to play kind of like marching-y snare and get those really like ghosty notes in between every single hit. And imagine doing that for a video game. Like, how do you, for an SNES, recreate the very slight touches that a hand does of like that? Like, that's really impressive, at least from like a musical standpoint,
right? And it's 3/4 too.
Well, do you know which developer did this?
I think Atlas. Let me see. They might have just published it. Let me see, actually. I can see if I can look this up, actually.
When I listen to this, I'm reminded of this game that came out for the PS1 called Klonoa. I don't know why the music reminds me of that a lot.
Huh. This is Atlas.
Okay. They developed it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
This is like really, I don't know, something about this is so ahead of its time.
Well, to me, a lot of the tracks in Last Bible 3 sound to me like late 90s, almost 2000 Britpop, sort of,
yes.
You know?
Yeah, I could see that.
And
totally.
It just totally, because to me, this just totally sounds like, yeah, just that kind of, around 2000, that kind of British rock music, you know?
What year was this?
This is 95.
95. This is like later in the SNES life cycle.
Yeah.
Because it's so... It sounds like... If you told me this was PlayStation, I would believe you.
Uh-huh.
Because that's how good these samples are.
Yeah.
They're just so crisp. And like, if you hear that synth in the very, very background... Like that synth, that tone's so good. Can you just isolate that snare, if you don't mind?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that.
Oh. You want me to leave that? Take that out. This is all one channel.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you could hear that snare just... The stick just bouncing off that snare
skin.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, yeah.
That's nice. That's really cool how they did that.
That's nice. Yeah.
Oh man, but yeah, that synth, that synth, that last synth was really that tone was super cool.
This is the bass drum here.
Good tone for the bass drum.
It sounds pretty real.
Yeah, yeah. It's there's a lot of like this interesting like lightness to it.
Well, also, what's nice is the bass drum has this muted sound to it, you know,
yeah.
Like where it there's really sounds like there's
it.
A pillow in it. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Totally.
Definitely sounds like a pillow in it, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a... What would that
oh,
be?
Oh, it sounds like something, actually.
It's a clavichord.
Oh, a clavichord, yeah.
But it also really, to me, reminds me of 70s or 80s electronic music, you know?
Would you say Stevie Wonder?
Oh, I can hear that sort of, yeah, too. Living for the City or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Higher ground?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, higher ground, yeah. It's just so cool to hear these.
This is sophisticated. This is something beyond video game music to me. I feel like I'm flying.
The bass, too.
This would be a fun song to cover.
Yeah. It's doable, too.
Yeah. Which are my favorite songs?
So for a full track list, that almost brings us to the end of the episode. For a full track listing, you can go to legacymusichour.com and you can also comment there, and you can also contact us at legacymusichour@gmail.com with questions or comments, or you can also text or leave phone messages on at 281-SONIC-91. And if you like the show and you want more people to find out about it, rate it on iTunes. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Check out on October 24th. We'll put information up. There's going to be the live show in San Francisco. So check that out. And that's it. I want to thank my guests, Eric and Olson from Kirby's Dream Band. What are the places they can check out your band There's a YouTube channel, right?
Mm-hmm. We're also on Facebook, and our music's on Bandcamp, and the album's actually for free. We believe in
the digital album.
Yes. The digital album.
What about the physical album?
The physical album, you have to pay money for the physical album.
I like physical stuff more. You know?
We're actually coming out with a vinyl. It's very limited release. Very limited release.
Is it going to be pink as well?
Yes, of course. Yeah, yeah. It's actually a double LP. That's how long the album is.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
So how long is this album?
It's 16 songs.
I think it's just under an hour.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Every song is a two-song medley. So it's pretty dense. Like the longest song I think is Cave Story, which I think is like a 6-minute long song.
Thanks so much for this copy.
Oh,
of this.
Dude,
I can't wait to listen to
no
it.
No worry, actually, I really hope you listen to the Cave Story. It's
oh yeah, yeah.
What's great about Cave Story? It was all made by one guy. The graphics, the story, the engine, the music.
Right.
Which makes it even more impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Pink album just released. We're also going to start recording.
You actually are going to have a release show in December.
Yes, mm-hmm. A release show in December, probably the 27th or the 28th, officially.
It'll probably be in Los Angeles, you're thinking.
LA or Orange County.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we're thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hopefully, this is a call to arms for any video game band out there to come join us and play with us. It would be a blast. I know we're not playing MAGFest. We didn't get accepted. Very sad. But we would like all our friends to come out and hang out with us then.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
So, is there a main website for your band?
No, just a Facebook and a Bandcamp. But our email is Kirby's Dream Band. But if you talk to us on Facebook, we'll talk back. We like hanging out with
your
people.
Email is Kirby's Dream Band
@gmail.com.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no apostrophe, I take it.
No apostrophe. But yeah, if you come out to the CD release show, which hopefully we'll have vinyls and t-shirts and that album and posters, and hopefully you will come out and we'll fill your void with a t-shirt.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, and thanks again. Thanks again for the pins too.
No, this is a pleasure. I've been listening to your podcast for a very long time, and I've listened to every episode, and it's been an absolute wonderful treat to come and join you.
Oh yeah, thanks, absolutely. thanks. It was fun to have you guys.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure there's nothing else to cover here. I think we got it. I think next week's episode is, of course, another free play episode. There's only two more free plays until the best of year in review.
Ooh.
Where we pick our top 10 favorite tracks from this that we learned about this year, in the last year, that is, you know.
Before you do that, I recommend picking or listening to two of Kirby Dream Band's favorite music, one of which is from a game called Rad Gravity.
Oh,
it's the title theme. Now, like, that song apparently gets guff for being bad, but like it's actually really, really good.
There's which game?
Rad Gravity.
Okay,
the theme song. It like if you go on YouTube, it's called the worst video game song in the world.
I know this game. It's by George Sanger, I think. George Sanger did the music too. He did like Maniac Mansion,
and
he did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Did he do Boy and His Blob?
No, that's Mark Van Heck.
But
he did Funhouse. Funhouse.
Oh yes, Funhouse it's bizarre.
And,
but like
he also did The Seventh Guest for the computer. Actually,
oh that's a weird game.
Yeah, it might have been. It's either him or it's David Warhol. It's one of his team.
Yeah.
Team. It's George Sanger's team.
It sounds like
the Fat Man. Yeah. I know that track, and I don't think it's that bad.
No, it's
actually.
Not. It's actually.
I think it's kind of cool.
It's,
yeah.
There's so much to it, and like. And at first, when you first hear it, it kind of like hits you in the face, like what the heck am I listening to?
Yeah.
But then you sit down, and you're sort of like, wow, there's actually a lot to this. And the bass line. We're actually thinking about maybe possibly covering it.
Possibly.
But also, a game for the Amiga. If you get a chance, listen to it. It's called Savage.
Huh. Yeah.
The game Savage. I think it's Stage 1 from Savage.
Uh huh. Well, yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny they mentioned Rad Gravity though, because I've seen that people don't like that, but I think it's good, actually.
They don't really get it,
you know? Mm-hmm. And that George Sanger, he's really good, you know?
Yeah.
And Seventh Guest, by the way, is so good, actually.
Yes.
That's really good music, actually. And Funhouse is good, too, actually.
It's like people who don't get Rad Gravity is same people who don't get, like a Alejandro Jodorowsky movie or, like, a really, like, far-out-there film. You have to, you have to kind of...
Yeah, you know, it's definitely... You got to, like, you know, embrace it more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to leave with a track from Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. This is music by Jun Funahashi, Yukie Morimoto, and Hidenori Maezawa. We're going to hear Aquarius.
Excellent.
Which was on one of the dance mixes I made recently.
Japanese or American version?
With the American version.
Okay.
Or the North American version. I always like to say North American to include Canada as well, you know. But I actually probably like the North American version a little more because it's a little tighter, mm-hmm. but not in the case of Gimmick. I mean, yeah. if you've heard the reduced version of Gimmick that came out in Europe, that's not as...
You need the extra sound channels.
The extra sound channels for Gimmick is just way richer yep. and better. But with Castlevania 3, the scaled down versions, it works for me, definitely.
Really? I kind of like the bass a little bit more for the Famicom. Personally.
Well, they seem to use a non-triangle yeah. situation, right?
This, yeah. yeah. Heavier.
It's heavier, yeah. Well, and then for Mario Sankey Madara, that definitely mm-hmm. the extra channels really yeah. make that really a good soundtrack. Anyway, so this is Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse. Thank you to Eric. Thank you to Olson. Our engineer today is Monica Xiao.
Thank you, Monica.
And my name is Brent Weinbach. The name of the program is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.